الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن نبينا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله فقد آتينا آل إبراهيم الكتاب والحكمة وآتيناهم ملكا عظيما وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إياكم والحسد فإن الحسد يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected brothers and elders, indeed we are often reminded of our religious, our ethical and moral responsibility and duty towards our fellow Muslim brothers who are in pain, in agony and distress. But how often are we really reminded, and if ever, of our religious, our moral and ethical responsibility towards those fellow Muslim brothers when Allah has bestowed upon them, when Allah has favored them and endowed them with some favor and gift? That is, how should I react when things are going good for my Muslim brother? Should I sit back and burn with malice and jealousy? Should I plan and plot against him and make insinuations and get caught in grief and sorrow? Or should I at least get up, congratulate the man, embrace the man and share in his joy and happiness? Surely this is the spirit of Islam and the teaching of our deen, to share in the joy and happiness of others. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he draws an analogy and he cites an example of a human's body. And he says, my ummah, they are so united like a human's body. إِذْ اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْءٌ تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهَرِ وَالْحُمَّى. If any part of the body has to experience any pain, the entire body will be restless and anxious. It is not possible for one part of the body to experience and feel some pain and the rest of the body to be at ease. On the same token, if any part of the body experiences some joy, some happiness, some ecstasy, the entire body shares in the joy and ecstasy of that part of the body. This is the condition of the ummah and the unity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this time and age, unfortunately, amongst the many evils and harms that are destroying and killing us internally and destroying our community, and affecting our unity and damaging our society, is the evil of malice and jealousy. The evil of hasad, envy and animosity, where we can't see our brother prospering, we can't see him progressing, we can't see our brother that his boat is sailing smoothly on the surface of the ocean. We wait for him to be afflicted by some calamity, some disaster, some catastrophe, and we take joy in that. This is not the teaching of Islam. This is against the spirit of Islam. Islam teaches us to unite, to share in the joy and happiness of others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith says, "Dabba ilaykum da'ul umam al-hasad wal-baghda." That, remember, listen very carefully, that disease that afflicted the ummats and the nations of the past, that sickness that was common and prevalent in the ummats of the past, it has also crept into my ummah. Dabba ilaykum, it is also found in my ummah. What is it, Ya Rasulullah? It's none other than jealousy and animosity. Burning with jealousy and malice, unable to see the happiness of another person, O my ummah, la tahasadu, la tahasadu. Be very careful. Do not burn with malice and jealousy. Wish well for your Muslim brother and your Muslim sister. Do not rejoice over some depressing occasion of your Muslim brother. Instead, hope for the best for him. لا يجتمع في جوف عبد أو لا يجتمع في قلب عبد الإيمان والحسد. Nabi Ali Salam says, two things can never come together at one time. Two things can never occupy a man's heart at once, at one time. That is hasad, jealousy and iman. A man's heart cannot be occupied with jealousy and iman at the same time. It's either only jealousy and no iman, or only iman and no jealousy. Scholars and ulama write, what is the reason for this? That is not possible for a man's heart to be occupied with jealousy and iman at the same time. And they write very clearly that hasad and jealousy in essence is where you are unhappy. You are displeased with the decision and the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if you are questioning Allah. Oh Allah, why you gave so and so person this? I am more deserving of it. I am more worthy of it. And you're unhappy with this judgment and decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most certainly it is an essential part of our iman. A strong pillar of our faith and our iman. That we should be happy and content with the decision and the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one is unhappy and displeased with the distribution and the decision of Allah, this means his iman is not complete. He cannot be a true believer. Nabi alayhi salam says so clearly, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you will have complete iman. None of you's iman will be perfect and complete until he loves for his Muslim brother what he loves for himself. لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. You will never enter Jannah until you have complete, perfect iman. What is perfect iman? What is complete iman? Where you love one another and you love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. This is the spirit of Islam. This is the teaching of our deen. To wish well for Muslim brothers. To hope the best for them. Not to burn with malice and jealousy. With envy and animosity. And wait for them to go through some difficulty. Instead to be happy when things are going good for your Muslim brother or sister. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, at all times the hearts were clean and pure from any jealousy and malice. They wished well for their Muslim brothers. They had this quality of nasiha, of hoping for the best, wishing well for your Muslim brother and sister. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he once advises his khadim, his servant, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. He is that illustrious companion of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After hijrah and migration, the mother of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Rumaysa, or commonly known as Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anha, she approached the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, every Ansari, every resident of Medina Munawwara has given you some gift, whether in the form of wealth, whether in the form of material, whether in the form of food or clothes. But I have nothing that I can give you as a gift, as a hadiyah. And therefore I give you my son as a gift, that he will serve you throughout the day and night. The paragon of the creation of Allah accepts him. And he accepts this gift. And he takes Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu in his custody and possession. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu was so fortunate to live 10 years in the company and the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, one day the Nabi of Allah told me, oh Anas, let me tell you something. إِنْ قَدَرْتَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُصْبِحَ وَتُمْسِيَ وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌّ لِأَحَدٍ فَفْعَلْ. Today we are very concerned about our health, our physical health, our physical condition, our outer appearance. And every morning and evening, daily we monitor our sugar, our pressure, our cholesterol. Here the Nabi of Allah tells Anas, oh Anas, if you can monitor your heart every morning and evening, and if your heart is free from jealousy and malice in the morning, then have a pleasant morning. If your heart is free from jealousy and malice in the evening, have a pleasant night. And if you can sustain this, then remember this is part of my sunnah. This is part of my lifestyle. This is how I live in this world. Having a clean and pure heart for every Muslim person in this world. And O Anas radiallahu anhu, he then says, O Anas, if you can sustain this and maintain this, then you have followed my sunnah. Whoever loves my sunnah, whoever loves my way of life, and he follows my sunnah and my lifestyle, then surely he has true love for me. He has true ishq for me. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is made manifest in our actions, in our qualities, in following his lifestyle, following his sunnah, in our conduct. And O Anas, let me tell you, that person who loves me, I guarantee him that he will be my companion in Jannah. Such an easy recipe, such an easy solution to earn Jannah, and not only Jannah, but earn the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. Keep your heart clean from malice and jealousy. Wish well for your Muslim brother. Wish well for your Muslim sister. Anas radiallahu anhu reports, one day we were seated in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then told us that a man will pass by now, and know well that this man is from the dwellers of Jannah. A certain man will pass by, and he is from the people of Jannah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were very eager to see who is this man. And thereafter some time, after a few minutes had passed, a man passed by this gathering, and he was none other than Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. The second day, the same incident, same story happens. Sahaba radiallahu anhum sitting with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again he says, a man will pass by shortly, and he is from the inmates of Jannah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum again, very eager to see who is this man, the very same Sahabi that passed yesterday, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas. The third day, the same thing occurred. Abdullah bin Amr bin As said, now I have to make a plan. He was very eager and curious to know what was so special about him, what was so beloved in him, and so dear in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was unique in him that Allah loved him so much that the Nabi of Allah promised that this man is from the people of Jannah. Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhuma, he then goes to Sa'd bin Abi Waqas. He makes some excuse and asks him for a place to stay for a few nights. And he asked him permission to stay and lodge with him for a few days. Sa'd bin Abi Waqas said, yes, by all means, you're welcome. Abdullah bin Amr bin As, that night, on his first night of his stay, he pretended to be fast asleep. He closed his eyes as if he was fast asleep. But in reality, he was wide awake, waiting to see what action this man does that is so beloved and dear in the eyes of Allah. And to his amazement, he found that Sa'd bin Abi Waqas, this great Sahabi, the entire night passed by and he was fast asleep. Yes, occasionally he would get up and turn from side to side. He would recite some tasbih, some dhikr, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he never performed tahajjud salah that night. He remained fast asleep for the entire night. He doesn't see anything unique, anything special about him. The second night, the same thing happens. The third night passes, and still he can't find anything special, anything great about this man. 3 days passes. Now he approaches Sa'd bin Abi Waqas, and he tells him, let me tell you the reality, the truth of the story. I had no reason, no need to stay with you for so many nights. The only reason why I wanted to stay with you, to see what you are doing in the darkness of the night, that is so beloved and dear in the eyes of Allah, that you have earned such great glad tidings on the tongue of the Messenger of Allah. Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu tells him, nothing great, nothing special, nothing unique. Perhaps I can tell you one thing, and perhaps this is the reason why I've earned my Jannah, and that is I keep my heart clean and pure from any malice and jealousy. I wish well for every Muslim brother of mine. I don't harbor and burn with malice and jealousy in my heart. Abdullah bin Amr bin As says, yes, O Sa'd, certainly this is the action through which you have earned your Jannah. Sahaba radiallahu anhu had clean hearts for everyone. Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, I took allegiance, pledge on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon 3 things. Number 1, iqamus salah. I will be punctual upon my salah. I will not delay my salah. I will perform my salah in the correct manner. Number 2, ita'uz zakah. I will be punctual in discharging my zakat every year. I will not delay my zakah. I will not look for loopholes, for leeways, for tricks to avoid paying zakat. And thirdly, وَالنُّصْحْ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمْ I'll wish well for every Muslim brother and sister of mine. I will not burn with malice and jealousy. I will be happy that things are going good for my Muslim brother or sister. This was the condition of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They had clean and pure hearts for every person. Jealousy, malice, animosity, waiting for your brother to go through some difficulty, not being happy that things are going good for him, being displeased that his business is running well, and that his children are obedient, he has no problems in his marriage, not being able to digest and bear this. This is a salient feature of the hypocrites and the Jews. A salient feature of the munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, in the fifth juz of the Holy Quran. وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَطِّئَنَّ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you go out on in your campaigns and expeditions, then there are certain people amongst you who delay, they are sluggish, they wait, they procrastinate. They look at the horizon, they don't come out immediately. They wait to see whether the Muslims have the upper hand or they're facing a setback. And if fate and destiny had it such that the Muslims went and they returned defeated, not victorious, these munafiqeen, these hypocrites who remained behind in Medina Munawwara, they would then rejoice and they'd become very happy and they would say, see, our plan worked for us. We told you people not to go out. And they'll become happy that some harm had come upon the Muslims. And if it was the other way around, the Muslims went out and they returned victorious and they earned a share from the booty and the spoils of war. These hypocrites and munafiqeen could not console themselves. They could not bear and digest it. They would burn with malice and jealousy. They would get stuck in their sorrow and grief. Ya laytani kuntu ma'ahum. Ya laytani. Oh, how I wish I was also there. They did not have the guts and the stamina and the courage and the spirit to get up, congratulate the Sahaba, tell them, well done. This is the salient feature of the hypocrites, likewise the Yahud and the Jews. Allah speaks about them as well in the Quran. Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ آتِيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ That the Jews, the Yahud, certainly, they know who is the messenger of Allah. They know with certainty that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the final messenger. He is the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says they recognize him to be the Nabi of Allah, like how they recognize their own children to be the children. What is the reason they fail to accept Islam? What prevents them? What stops them? Is none other than jealousy and malice. They're unhappy, they're annoyed, they're disturbed. They can't accept the fact that the last messenger was sent amongst the Arabs and not the Bani Israel. So this has become a deterrent for them that prevents them from bringing Iman. Ulama write, the first sin, the first evil that came into existence in the sky was jealousy. When Iblis, Shaitan, could not bear and control himself, he could not accept the fact that Allah had ordered the angels to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. He could not see that Adam alayhi salam is superior to him, better than him. Then arrogance came in and he rejected the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of which he was cursed by Allah Rabbul Izzah. Likewise, the first evil, the first sin to come into existence on the surface of this earth was again jealousy and malice. When the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that Habil must marry the sister of Qabil, and Qabil must marry the sister of Habil. However, the sister of Qabil was more good looking than the sister of Habil. Qabil couldn't digest it and accept that his brother has a more good looking wife than him, more beautiful spouse than him. And that hasad, that jealousy, that malice motivated him and drove him to go and assassinate his own brother. This was the first evil that came into existence on the surface of this earth. Therefore, ulama and scholars write very clearly, hasad and jealousy is one of the major kabair, the major sins, which draws the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this destroys one internally. It destroys one's unity. It destroys our community, our society. This is a salient feature of the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, who cannot see the prosperity and the progress of another person. They burn with malice and jealousy. Ulama have written, amongst the many harms of jealousy, firstly, it destroys a man's good deeds. Al-hasad ya'kulu al-hasanat kama ta'kulu an-nar al-hatab. Nabi alayhi salam says that jealousy devours, it eats up a man's good deeds, like how fire eats up firewood. Allah did not make it, Allah forbid, it must not be such on the day of Qiyamah, a man goes before Allah, expecting great returns, great rewards, and then he finds zero to all his a'mal, zero to all his actions, all his deeds. What is the reason? Because he had hasad and jealous. He was jealous in this world. He could not see his Muslim brother prospering, progressing. And this destroyed his good deeds in this world. Secondly, ulama say, amongst the many evils of jealousy and malice, it causes misery, regret, sorrow and grief. It makes a man depressed in this world. According to the statistics of the World Health Organization, that currently in the world, there are at least 350 million people. 350 million people out there who are suffering from severe depression. $80 billion are being spent every year just to cure, just as a cure from depression, to find some remedy, to find some cure from depression. Every 40 seconds, there's one suicide taking place in the world. And there's a fear that this rate will even go higher and increase to 20 seconds per suicide. A great percentage of this relates to hasad and jealousy. When a man cannot achieve what he wants, and he cannot see that his Muslim brother or his Muslim sister has gone ahead of him and is better than him, and now he starts to burn with jealousy and malice, and this eats him up inside, he becomes depressed, he becomes very sad and grieved, and this leads to many other harms. Therefore, ulama say, al-hasood la yasood. A man who is malicious, who is jealous, he can never be a leader. Because his mind is all the time occupied with this thought, trying to plot and plan against the man. He's consumed with jealousy and malice. His mind cannot function. He cannot think properly. This is one of the severe and the most greatest harms and evils of jealousy and malice. The question comes in everyone's mind. How should we deal with this? How should we treat ourselves if we find that in our heart there is some percentage of malice and jealousy? How to deal with it? How to treat it? Our scholars again explain to us the strongest medication, the strongest antibiotic for malice and jealousy is to make sincere dua for the one against whom your jealousy is directed. To make sincere dua for him. Ya Allah, a certain person, I'm jealous of him. I cannot see that he's better than me. Oh Allah, you increase him. Oh Allah, you bless him. And then we'll find an angel saying Ameen to your dua. وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِ ذَلِكَ. May Allah grant you even better than that. So the strongest medication, the strongest remedy for malice and jealousy, to make sincere dua for the one whom you are jealous of. Secondly, ulama say, try and focus on our own lives. Try and be focused. Worry about ourselves. Not let our minds run through everyone else's stories, everyone else's lives, about this person, that person. Nabi alayhi salam says, "Min husni islam al-mar, tarkuhum ma la ya'ni." From the beauty of one's Islam is that he's not concerned about things that do not concern him. He's focused in life. He worries about himself. He's not concerned about everyone else's stories. That leads a person towards malice and jealousy. And that leads a man towards greater destruction in this world and the after. So again, make sincere dua for the person. Secondly, worry about yourself. Try and be concerned and focus about our own lives, not upon everyone else. And thirdly, the third solution, third remedy for jealousy and malice, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean our heart, to grant us the ability and the tawfiq to adopt and embrace this great quality of nasiha, which is a fundamental aspect of Islam, of wishing well for Muslim brothers and sisters. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away this quality of jealousy and malice from our heart. Help us be able to digest and accept that someone is better than us. And be able to be happy and content with the prosperity and the progress of another Muslim brother and sister. My respected brothers and elders, repeatedly we heard from the talks of my grandfather, Moinus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, when he used to give this example, and he used to say that jealousy and malice, if there's no other punishment, no other punishment for a man who is jealous, a man who is malicious, except his jealousy and malice, that jealousy, that malice is sufficient as a punishment for him. That jealousy is sufficient as a punishment for him. لَكَفَى بِالْحَسَدِ عَذَابًا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability, the tawfiq, to be able to see the prosperity of another Muslim brother or sister, and help us establish within us and embrace this great quality of wishing well for Muslim brothers and sisters. No one has guarantee how long he's going to live in this world. No one has any guarantee how many months he'll live in this world. May Allah not make it such on the day of Qiyamah. We meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a condition that our hearts are full of malice and jealousy, and as a result of which we will see all our actions destroyed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to practice on whatever has been said or heard. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.